Hello, my name is Bill Bouchard. I'm the Executive Director of Phi Delta Kappa, a professional association of educators. On the telephone with me is Rick Stiggins, founder and CEO of the Assessment Training Institute in Portland, Oregon. Rick's books on classroom assessment are the most widely used textbooks in this country today. Hello, Rick. How are you today?
Hi, Bill. Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Rick has an article in the December 2005 issue of the Phi Delta Kappa entitled, From Formative Assessment to Assessment for Learning, A Path for Success in Standards-Based Schools. Rick, you talk about the old assessment mission and its legacy. What is the old mission?
Well, if we all think back to the schools we grew up in, we'll realize that the mission, at least part of the mission of our high school faculties, was to sort us from the highest achiever to the lowest achiever by the end of high school. That's why we all had a rank in class by the end of high school. And the assessment and grading process was essentially defined to promote a dependable rank order. And the reason that old mission was in place is that the social mission of the institution was to begin to sort us into the various segments of our social and economic system. But what we need to realize in that context was that that system produced winners and losers. And in a standards-driven environment, there's no room for losers. Everybody's got to meet standards. And so that was the old mission, and we've got a new mission.
Yeah, that you talk about the new mission that leads us to the new mission, right?
Right. Yeah. The new mission is that society began to realize that if all kids, all schools did was sort kids from the highest achiever to the lowest achiever, the bottom third to half of that rank order distribution failed to develop essential reading, writing, and math problem solving proficiencies that are needed to be lifelong learners. And boy, the one universal message we know now from given the rapid evolution of our culture and our society is that kids coming out of school today are going to have to be lifelong learners. And so what we've done as a society is to decide that we need for all kids to develop reading, writing, and math problem-solving proficiencies. We call them our academic achievement standards. And schools and kids are going to be held accountable for meeting those standards. And what's important is to realize that's essential for the ongoing development of our society. And so the new mission is to assure that all students become competent, at least at some level. It's a fundamentally different mission from merely sorting kids.
And then in the article, as you describe the old and the new mission, you then talk about formative and summative assessment. So in your words, how do the two kinds of assessment differ?
What we have to understand from the beginning is that all assessment needs to be judged in terms of its quality, at least in part in terms of its ability to fulfill its intended purpose. And sometimes we want assessments to support the learning process. We've historically called those formative assessments. So it's assessment that provides information that informs instructional decisions as the learning is happening. Summative assessment, as we've defined it historically, has been assessment for accountability. That is, it asks the question, have our students met our academic achievement standards? And examples of these include our statewide accountability assessments and college admissions tests and those things that at strategic points in the learning process ask, did the students get there or not? So formative wants to historically support learning, and summative wants to verify learning.
And we've heard so much more about formative assessment, particularly in the last few years. You've attached two issues that you think have surfaced along with formative assessment, one being to test more frequently, and the second being to manage data more effectively. How do you describe these activities?
Sure. In order to support the learning process, the realization we've had as a school culture is that we've got to be assessing more than once a year. The thing that makes me crazy is that I watch people aggregating, disaggregating, unaggregating, and reaggregating once-a-year test scores, trying to make them instructionally relevant. What we've got to realize is that, for heaven's sake, they only happen once a year, and so they can influence decisions made once a year. The problem is the decisions that support student learning while it's happening don't happen just once a year. On some occasions, they happen every 3 to 4 minutes. And so so the idea of assessing more frequently is an important idea, because the more frequently we ask who is and isn't meeting standards, the more the more judiciously we can bring resources to bear for those kids who need them. So lots of people are adopting interim assessments, quarterly assessments, short cycle assessments, benchmark assessments, to ask that question more frequently, and that's a very good idea. So more frequent assessment is a good idea for supporting learning. And then the other facet that we mentioned in the article is that there are those who believe that the issue isn't about the nature of the data, but how it's managed. And so what we've seen across the country is a sweeping development of information management systems designed to deliver that more frequent information in a timely and an understandable way into the hands of its intended users. And that's very important also. Effective information management is really, really critical. And so that's how these ideas connect to the idea of formative assessment, more frequent and the effective management of information.
And Rick, you know, really the centerpiece of the article and has to do with a distinction you make about assessment for learning as being different from these other issues. Do you want to talk a little bit about assessment for learning, what you mean by that?
Right. What's happened is that the idea of formative assessment as it's being, frankly, broadcast in the marketplace these days has been more about these interim benchmark or short cycle assessments that have things that are happening quarterly, et cetera. And while we think that's a good idea, that is, it's better to assess more frequently to help kids, there's another step that we believe is essential, and that is that we need to not just be talking about interim or benchmark assessments, but the assessments that happen day-to-day in the classroom. And that's where we want the concept of assessment for learning to be to come to the fore. Assessment for learning turns the day-to-day, moment-to-moment classroom assessment process and its results into learning experiences for students. That's the unique dimension of assessment for learning as we're defining it and as we define it in the article. We want to bring the students into the day-to-day classroom assessment process during the learning as full partners. That is, partners in the self-assessment process, in the record-keeping process, and in the communication process. The biggest breakthrough to happen in communicating about student achievement in the last 100 years, I believe, is the idea of student-led parent-teacher conferences. That's an assessment for learning kind of event. It's designed to help kids learn more, so we use the assessment process not just to gauge their achievement, but literally to help them to learn more and faster. And we're not just talking about quarterly here. We're talking about moment-to-moment in the classroom.
Rick, and I know you've been talking about that for some time. The first time I ever heard about student-led assessment was from you. Your organization, the Assessment Training Institute, is clearly a leader in providing resources for school leaders. Do you have resources specifically designed for addressing assessment for learning, as you've described it?
Yeah, two programs that we've created. One is for school leaders. Because what we contend is at the district and at the state level, those in leadership positions need to put in place the conditions favorable for teachers to assess for learning. So we have a leadership program, and then in addition to that, and there's a guide that goes with that called Assessment for Learning, and the subtitle is an action plan, an action guide for school leaders. And then we have the teacher program, the teacher's day-to-day classroom assessment for learning program, and that's captured in our program called Classroom Assessment for Student Learning, Doing It Right, Using It Well. And we have multimedia-based learning team or learning community-based programs to help people go on in internal control and learn about these ideas in the context of their own standards in their own classrooms.
So what's really great here, Rick, is not only are you talking about an issue, but you're providing some resources for people to address it.
Bill, the other part of that is that we've developed a parent and community guide, too, because one of the things we know is that parents need to understand why the assessment process might look different today, given the new mission, than it looked when they were in school. We want them to be supportive of this effort, too. So we're trying to get to provide information for all stakeholders.
And amen to that. Professional development for parents as you make these kinds of changes. Well, we encourage everyone to read Rick's article in the December 2005 issue of the Kappen. In addition, Rick has written several other articles for the Kappen that can be reprinted from our website. And finally, you can visit our website and link to Rick's website, or you can go to Google or another search engine and type in Assessment Training Institute and get to his information. Hey, Rick, thanks. You know, whenever I talk to you, I learn so much.
Oh, thanks for checking in with us, Bill. It's good to talk with you.